Regulators threaten aviation havoc in Europe. Space tourism comes to the island of Curaçao. And Michael Maya Charles is already out at Flying Magazine. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, October 7th, 2010. The International Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association is scrambling the jets to get an emergency stoppage of proposed European regulations, which would bring drastic changes and loss of aircraft value to European operators of aircraft registered in the U.S. and European pilots flying with U.S. pilot certificates. IAOPA says the plans fly in the face of every assurance given by EASA's principals that while they wanted European pilots to fly on European registers, they would properly address the reasons why they don't. The group says those factors that have been looked at have been skimmed over in a desultory and unsatisfactory way. Among the impacts of the proposed changes, N-numbered aircraft flown by FAA certificate holders could not be flown among EU member states, resulting in many business aircraft being dumped on the used market all at once. The holder of an FAA-issued instrument rating would need to take 7 tests to legally fly IFR in Europe. Read more about the proposal and its impacts in the text version of the story, dated October 6th, at aero-news.net. SXC, Space Experience Curaçao, and X-Corps Aerospace announced this week the signing of a memo of understanding for the wet lease of a production version of the Lynx suborbital spacecraft, pending U.S. government approvals to station the vehicle on the island of Curaçao in the Netherlands Antilles. With a planned start date in January of 2014, SXC will market and X-Corps will operate suborbital space tourism flights and scientific research missions out of Spaceport Curaçao. The government and airport authority had previously announced the intent to seek the establishment of a vibrant and active spaceflight services industry. This coming Sunday, the Netherlands Antilles will be officially dissolved, and the island of Curaçao will become an independent country. We just got done celebrating Flying Magazine's elevation of Michael Maya Charles to the position of editor-in-chief, and he's already gone. Robert Goyer, executive editor, has been promoted to take his place. Maya Charles, who's an experienced pilot and aviation journalist, is expected to return to aviation-oriented writing and photography. Publisher Dick Koenig commented, quote, "While it was a mutual decision for Michael to leave, we certainly wish him success in his next endeavor," unquote. Up next on ANN, Dreamliner 6 joins the test fleet. The FAA says the 787 is a wake turbulence monster, and a tax break brings outsourced jobs back to Illinois. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through control. Cirrus has completely reinvented the personal aircraft and the entire experience of owning a personal aircraft. It's a bold new take on private aviation that we call Cirrus Flying 2.0. You set the schedule. You chart the course. You're in control.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 7th. I'm Paul Plack. Boeing reports Dreamliner No. 6 has taken flight, the last full-time test aircraft, and the second one with GE engines, made its first flight Monday from Payne Field in Everett, Washington. Captains Christine Walsh and Bill Roberson took ZA-006 up for 1 hour, 4 minutes, in the first of many flights to come, as Boeing tests the GE-engined version for noise, extreme weather operations, function and reliability, and extended ops, and to find any differences from the first four planes that were fitted with Rolls-Royce engines. Boeing 787 VP Scott Fancher commented, quote, "We continue to be extremely satisfied with the performance of the 787 in its testing operations. This airplane handles wonderfully, unquote. That may be so, but the FAA says the Dreamliner, like the 747-8, creates wake vortices so intense that they need a new classification beyond heavy. The FAA has established procedures requiring 10 miles of separation between Boeing's 787 and 747-8 and aircraft departing or landing behind them. The minimum en route spacing behind the types is set at 5 miles. The notice is applicable to the Boeing 747-800 and three variants of the 787 and has a published expiration date of October 31, 2011. Air Lease Corporation, a new company led by leasing pioneer Stephen F. Udvar-Hazy, has firmed up an order with Boeing for as many as 60 next-generation 737s. The order was first announced at the Farnborough Air Show in July. Deliveries will happen through 2017. In addition to 54 firm orders, the deal includes 6 additional airplanes to be reconfirmed. While the company is new, Udvar-Hazy notes his execs know their Boeings. Quote, "Our management team has been working closely with Boeing for more than 30 years. With this large and long-term commitment, we'll be able to offer our clients a most economical, fuel-efficient, and versatile airplane, suitable for a variety of profitable missions," unquote. A GE facility in Loves Park, Illinois, which makes bleed valves for aircraft engines, will see a return of about 20 jobs that had been outsourced overseas. The move is due to a law passed 5 years ago by Congress, which gives companies a tax break for manufacturing components inside the United States. 16th District Congressman Don Manzullo and GE aviation leaders Mike Shanitry and Elliot Little joined economic development leaders to make the announcement Monday during a ceremony at the facility, which was part of GE's 2007 acquisition of Smith's Aerospace. GE Aviation will host a supplier symposium November 4th at the Rockford Airport. The symposium is structured around coaching and mentoring small local businesses in doing business with GE. Still ahead, a Glass Air 3 beats the big boys at Reno. Indiana NIMBYs face a paradox. And TSA cares, at least in Orlando. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, October 7th. I'm Paul Platt. There are a number of organizations chartered to provide terminally ill kids with big wishes. And for a lot of kids, that list includes attractions in the Orlando, Florida area. In response, the Transportation Security Administration has developed an initiative it calls Team Care, which it says has helped more than 750 families with the airport security process. In a news release, TSA says Team Care is staffed by transportation security officers who receive specialized training. In 2009, employees from Orlando International Airport attended the Give Kids the World Angel orientation in suburban Kissimmee, Florida, where they gained familiarity with the special needs of families who have a child with a life-threatening illness. Mitch Goldberg, vice president of Give Kids the World, praises the TSA's effort and says being greeted and escorted by Team Care members, quote, "truly bookends the beginning and ending of a perfect vacation," unquote. Glass Air Aviation is gloating just a little bit over a new record set at the 2010 National Championship Air Races. Jeff Lavelle flew his Glass Air 3 to over 362 miles per hour during qualifying, then went on to win first place victories in every heat of the Sport Class races, including the Sport Class Gold Race on Sunday. Lavelle's speed in qualifying would also have placed him first in the higher horsepower Supersport class, and it also beat 14 of 24 entrants in the Unlimited class. Mikhail Villa, president of Glass Air Aviation, commented, quote, "Glass Airs have long been known to be one of the best sport planes on the market, strong and fast. But clearly, we like winning the speed contest at Reno for 2 years in a row now," unquote. And finally today, airport officials in Greenwood, Indiana, have shelved plans to move Greenwood Municipal Airport. The facility's single 4,900-foot runway needs to be extended, but that's not feasible in its current location. But the recession has dropped jet operations below the number needed to qualify for the FAA's airport improvement grant that would pay to move it. Greenwood Board of Aviation President Jeff Colvin tells the Daily Journal, the airport logs about 89 aircraft operations a day, but only about 400 of those per year are jet operations. The uncontrolled airport is south of Indianapolis in a suburban area. Greenwood Mayor Charles Henderson tells the paper he hopes the airport can eventually be moved to a more rural area west of I-65. So, if you're a NIMBY living near Greenwood Municipal, what do you do now? Celebrate the drop in traffic? Or root for it to pick up so they'll move the airport? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in the conclusion of my conversation with pilot Vance Breeze, putting the challenges of a brain injury in perspective and planning the next aviation adventure. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.